Okay, Parshas Hazino, Shabbos Shuva. So the pasuk begins. Moshe Rabbeinu is sharing a song, a form of a poem. Torah refers to it as a shir. Hazino Hashemayim v'adaber v'sishma ha'aretz imrifi. He calls to the Shemayim and the Aretz because they will be the witnesses. They're around forever. They exist from the beginning of time to the end of time, and they're the ones who, so to speak, hear Moshe Rabbeinu's charge to the Jewish people, his predictions of future events. The Sfarim tell us that everything that will ever occur in the history of the world is hinted at in Parshas Hazino. Sefer Devarim as a whole, broken down, the Vilna Gaon tells us, by different centuries per Parsha, predicts many events. And every person who ever lives during over the course of the existence of the world somehow is referenced and somehow is hinted at in the Pesukim here in Sefer Devarim. So Hazino is a call to Jewish people to know what is coming in the future, to learn from the past, and understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will relate to them in the future, and be prepared for that. The Shemayim Va'aretz will testify that the Jews receive this charge, receive this warning, because they will always be around, and they always have been around. In Pasuk Gimel, Kishem Hashem Ekra HaBugodol Elokeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, and you're going to respond with praise. This is the source. The Gemara Brachas tells us for Zimun, when the Mezamein invites the people he's dining with to give praise to Kosh Baruch Hu, they respond in kind. There's also a mocker in the Gemara Brachas here for the concept of Brachas HaTorah. Brachas HaTorah, really one of the only two examples of brachos that are Doraisa, benching in Brachas HaTorah. Kishem Hashem Ekra HaVugodol Elokeinu. We will give praise to Kosh Baruch Hu when we call out the name of Hashem. The name of Hashem is actually the Torah itself. The Torah itself is entirely comprised of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you would remove all the commas and periods and the trup and any interruptions and breakdowns as we have them for words and sentences and make it one long string and continuum of letters, it would be all Shemus of Hashem in different configurations. Hatzur Tamim Polo Ki Choldu Racha Mishpat Kel Amuna Vein Ovel Sa'atik V'yashar Hu. Let's focus on Pasuk Da. Hatzur Tamim Polo. Hatzur is a rock. Hashem Tzuri V'goli, he is my rock. Tom Impolo, all of his actions are perfect and whole. Ki chol durach mishpat, because all of his ways are just. Kel Emuna, a faithful God. Faithful meaning that when he promises something, you can know it's going to be true. It's going to come true. Then Avel, and no Avel, no iniquity, no serious transgressions. Tzadik V'yashrahu, he is tzadik, righteous and straight. So the Mefarshim ask over here, it's a very, very unusual way to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially in the context of Tzur Tam and Paulo, absolute perfection. Chol Derech HaMishpat, Kel Emuna, Ve'in Avel. And he does not commit any avos. He does not violate any travesty. That's unbelievable, right? Is that the way, that's the best we can do? That's the best way that we can describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Leib Elio, right beneath it. Yeshus bon hate the Either Torah v'shevachu HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheino osavo. What kind of praise and description, positive description, is it about Hashem that he doesn't do any avos, right? Yitzurim yavo echad v'yatzia shidduch l'misho. Let's say someone comes to you and want to talk about a possible shidduch. Yivakshmi menu shiag is a milos al medubar. And they say, oh, you know this guy? Do me a favor, tell me a little bit about him. V'yanesh shehu lo osa avos. You know, gonev lo makashum ish. You should respond by saying, oh yeah, no major crimes, no, not even any misdemeanors. He doesn't beat people up. He doesn't rob any banks. Would you consider that a milo? I want to know the good things, the positive traits, the characteristics that would make this an interesting shidduch. And the best you can tell me is, oh, he doesn't do any serious crime, right? So what are we doing over here by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Kel Amuna Ve'in Avel. He doesn't do any serious avos. Is that's the best we can do? That's the best we can do to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a positive light? Very, very strange. Very, very strange. So that's the question. And this is the Sefer Leiv Eliyahu Lapian in the third volume in the Maruchas HaTshuva, Oshei. And he gives the following answer. He says, let's imagine a court scene for a moment. You have someone who was sentenced, who was found guilty by the court. And he's awaiting a sentencing by the judge. And as he has his final chance to throw himself at the mercy of the court, and they're considering the death penalty. So a lot is on the line. So he makes a plea, and he says, Your Honor, maybe I'm guilty, whatever he says. But please, what about my wife? What about my five kids at home? Who's going to take care of them? It's not just me who you're sacrificing. If you give me the death penalty, but my whole family, they're counting on me. They need a parnasa. They need someone to care for them. How could my kids grow up without a father? And so on and so forth. You can imagine the drama. Imagine the drama. And whatever the judge ultimately decides, right? On the one hand, there really is no other option. How can the judge take into account the almana and the yesomim? The guy did a crime. He murdered somebody. If the death penalty is appropriate, the death penalty is appropriate. And that's really how every single judgment, bidei adam, has to go. Because the court system, in their humanity, can only look at the here and now, focused on the person who's convicted, and punish that person. And that's it. Dr. Eliyahu Apian, on the left side in the second paragraph, calls bidei adam. That's all true when we're talking about humans. But that's not how it works in Shamayim. If a person in Shamayim is judged to be guilty and deserving of death for his averos, or yisurim, or galus, any other form of onesh, Hashem, in his infinite wisdom, in his ability to calibrate and calculate every single outcome and every effect that will result from this person's punishment and every person's punishment, Hashem can view the ripple effect, the reverberations, how it'll impact on his family, on his children, on his parents, on his friends, everyone else who will feel the pain of his loss if he's punished. And if indeed all those different people in the we'll say his sphere of influence don't deserve that tsar, it could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide to save even the guilty person in their zuchus. Maybe he's a rich person and he supports poor people and the community depends on him. And people will lose out and will suffer in his absence. If others in his environment are not deserving of the impact of his punishment, then in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can and will remove the punishment from him just as easily as he got it. That's an astounding statement. It's very powerful just to consider how we should now look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha Pratis. It may be so much more intricate than we ever imagined. Hashgacha Pratis means individual, Pratis, individual divine providence. But even in that individual perspective, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to simultaneously see how the Pratis will affect the Klolos, how the Hashgacha of one person will play itself out in the hashgacha of so many other individuals simultaneously. So it's not really hashgacha pratis, it's pratios, all the different pratim that are affected by the hashgacha over one person. That's the din shamayim. That's the tzaddik v'yashruhu ein ovel. When you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't let anything go wrong. So that really is a praise. It's praise in the sense that it helps us understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's system for judging the world is so much more complex in how all the interactions of every human and their environments are interwoven and interconnected, and Hashem's capacity to calibrate it all in his judgment. That is the concept of Atzur Tamim Palo, Gechol Derach HaMishpat, Kel Emuna V'Ein Odel, Tzadik B'Yashar Hu. Bosai, this concept has practical significance in so many ways in our day-to-day life. Listen to this. Listen to this. There's a Gemara in Yuma. Everyone see it there? Quoting a Pasuk in Mishlei. Yes, Shirley, is it on the board? Pasuk in Mishlei says, Daiga blev ish yisichena. If a person has a worry in his heart, yisichena, the Eitzah of Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, is yisichena. What does yisichena mean? Two opinions in the Gemara in Yuma. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi. Chad Amar Yisichena Midaito. One says, Yisichenu midaito, he should remove it from his mind, like hesach hadas. He should distract himself from it. If he's stressed out about something, you know, you're just letting your thoughts creep up on you. Try to focus on something else more productive. Think happy thoughts. That's the first eitz of Shlomo Melech. That's one opinion. There's another opinion. Says, no, the pasuk means something different. Chad amar yisichena la'achirim. Like sicha. Vayetze yitzchak la'suach basode. To speak, to converse, to have a dialogue. You know what you should do? You know what you should do if you have stress? Yisichena la'achirim. Share it with somebody else. Share it with somebody else. So now, if you'd ask us why it's healthy to share it with someone else, so we can appreciate psychologically, it's not a good idea to keep things inside. Your therapist would tell you to get it out. Don't let it be bottled up inside. Get it off your chest, out of your system, and you'll feel better. And perhaps we've had that experience before, where when we don't keep the trouble inside of ourselves, when we're able to release it, it's much easier to cope with, and it's much easier to be at ease. But there's another pshat, which is unbelievable and so important this time of year and every time of year. Listen to this. Isa b'shem Adoni Avizikni Harav HaKadosh HaChidush HaRim. Satzal. It is brought in the name of my grandfather, the Chidush HaRim. Anyone know who the grandson of the Chidush HaRim who's writing this is? Who's the grandson of the Chidush HaRim? The Svas Emes. Svas Emes, the Ger Rebbe. Lived a little more than 100 years ago. Turn of the century in Poland, in Warsaw. And in the city of Ger, that's where the Chassidus was centered. So on Maimar Chazal, the Chiddush Rim explained, based on the Maimar Chazal that we just read, Chad Amar Yisichena Midaito, Chad Amar Yisichena Alcherim. The Omar Bishlam Midaito Nicha. He said, I understand the opinion says, get it off your mind. Don't focus on, distract yourself. You'll be okay. Avi Yisichena Alchavero Mama Uilo. But what are you instructing him to do by saying, tell to a friend? How does that help me? Explains, if you're being told to share it with a friend, so you're gonna find a confidant. You're gonna find someone who you're close with, someone who understands you, someone who you have a relationship with. And if he's a close friend, and that's who you're gonna share your troubles with, that person also feels the pain and the agmas nefesh, the trouble, the anguish, and the stress that you're feeling, right? A good friend is not happy when you're not happy. And they can identify with what you're going through and validate what you're going through. He says, Reuven tells it to Shimon. And Shimon is bothered by the trouble that Reuven's going through. Hashem looks down from Shemayim and says, wait a minute. I decreed something on Reuven because he deserved it. Shimon is being pained by listening to Reuven's tzar? Shimon never had that gzeira. Shimon was never ordained in Hashkacha Pratis to have to suffer at this moment in this way. And miyad Hashem will remove the pain from Reuven so that Shimon will be relieved of it as well. Isn't that unbelievable? It means that our neshamos are so closely connected. And the way that Hashem looks at everything together, everything in one shot, the way that I respond and the way that my friend responds to my tzara can actually have an impact one on the other. And if you're a good listener, and you make a point of being someone who other people can share things with you and you really feel the pain of another, you will actually do more to help them get rid of whatever's bothering them, because when it's put on you and you don't deserve that, Hashem would not make you suffer as well. Just like we said before, Ein Ovel, everything is calibrated specifically. And there's an advantage to sharing with others because one person's feelings and emotions will actually have that effect on the other person. Here's another example of this, Rabbi Osai. Unbelievable, from Parshas. Actually, let's take a look at this Gemara in Brachos quickly. Ki hadu Rava ki ava cholish. Rava was sick. Whenever he got sick, yom akamalo magali. He would not tell him on the first day. Mikan ve'elach, if the sickness continued, it wasn't just a cold. Amalei l'shami pok achriz Rava cholish. Go and tell people. Go announce, Rava, the Rosh Hashiva, he's sick. Why? It's because the people who love me, they'll daven for me. And he says, the people who don't like me, they'll be happy. And the pasuk says, "Ben full oivecha al tismach ubekashal al yagel ibecha penir Hashem v'rabe inov." The pasuk says, "Don't be happy. Don't be happy when your enemy is in trouble, because if Hashem sees that you're happy, He'll remove the tzar from your enemy, and you'll be the one who's now stuck, and he'll have the last laugh." It works in the other direction also. If a person is happy when someone else is in pain, that's a terrible thing. It'll have the reverse desired effect of the person who's happy. But again, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu has even our emotions so precisely worked out down to the last detail, no one feels anything without being part of a bigger calculation. Parshas Maaseh, just mention outside, Parshas Maaseh, when a person goes to Golus, right? You go to the Eir Miklat after killing someone by accident. How do you get released? What does it take to get free from the Eir Miklat? Only when the Kohen Gadol dies. The people will save the murderer, the accidental murderer, from the Gol Adam, from the relative who may take revenge. And they'll bring him back to the Eir Miklat where he'll be safe, where the Gol Hadam, where the relative of the victim, cannot do any damage. Asher Nosham of the Eir Miklat they ran from. The Yashaba, listen to this. And most Kohen Gadol, the murderer, the Shogig murderer, the accidental murderer, stays there until the death of the Kohen Gadol. Asher Moshe Chalso B'Shem HaKodesh, he stays there till the death of the Kohen Gadol, whom he anointed with the holy Shem HaMishcha. What? He stays there until the death of the Kohen Gadol that he anointed with the Shem HaMishcha? Who? The murderer? The murderer didn't anoint any Kohen Gadolim. The Sanhedrin is involved, perhaps, in appointing Kohen Gadol. But the murderer? He never met the Kohen Gadol. He may never meet the Kohen Gadol ever. He's going to be stuck there until he's dead. What does it mean that he'll stay there until the Kohen Gadol that he anointed dies? Zakhtar Meshach Chachman right there on the spot. Rameir Simcha Kohen Midvinsk. You know why the Torah describes it as the Kohen Gadol that he anointed? Because if you go to an Eir Miklat, you could be there for a day, a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years. You have no idea how long the Kohen Gadol is going to live. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu selects a Kohen Gadol to be next in line, you could choose a 4-year-old, a 50-year-old, 60-year-old, 70-year-old, 120-year-old, each one with a different remaining lifespan. But because every specific point of Hashgacha Pratis is so specifically calibrated, the interconnectedness of one Jew to another will even play out on which Kohen Gadol is selected to be next, so that his remaining years before he dies corresponds exactly to how many years the murderer is supposed to be staying in the Eir Miklat. So it's called the Kohen Gadol that you appointed, because it's all because of you. Hashem will decide who becomes the Kohen Gadol, who gets that Mashiach, based on the punishment that you deserve. Once again, my life, my averos, my judgment has an impact on the people around me in both directions, to the advantage and disadvantage of everyone. Apostle, this is why the Zohar says, at least this is how Lev Elyo, as I was taught, I'm sorry, not the Lev Elyo, Mitzvah Elyo, Rav Dessel explains, the truth is Rosh Hashanah. Why? Once you were judged on day one, what do you need the second day for? The answer is because there are two different types of judgment. The judgment on day one is the absolute judgment that corresponds to your actions, what you deserve. You know what the judgment on day two is? The judgment on day two is, let's backtrack. Let's look more carefully at what happened on day one and say, okay, this person is unfortunately not going to be Matzliach. But then on day two, we'll look at all the other people who depend upon him. And maybe other members of his family are deserving of more panasa or more health or whatever it happens to be. And by virtue of their zechusim, his judgment will be altered in their favor. Maybe the opposite could be true too. Maybe he's not deserving of nachas from his children, but his children deserve success. And as a result, he will get the nachas from them by virtue of the judgment of day two, because Hashem sees it all in one shot. It's just like one massive atomic reaction where a little bit of force in one direction can cause this one to bump to that one, to that one, to that one. And by the time all the dust settles, what's been created is something so much more complex and bigger and more detailed and totally, totally unimagined if you were simply looking at the initial components that went into the reaction in the first place. Another example that brings this out, Parshas Matos, the war against the Midianim. We've discussed this. This was the subject in Parshas in Masechet Avodah Zarah last year, right? The Mochama with Midian and the clay Midian that they brought back from the war. They had to kasher them from the Geule Midian. It says at the beginning of the retelling of the warriors returning from war, that is called the warriors took back all the spoils, all the animals and captives from the war, and they placed it right there down on the floor in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and Elazar Cohen, and before the Jewish people. They didn't keep a penny for themselves that they weren't expressly authorized to give. And Rashi says, oh, you see from here, they were tzaddikim. They didn't take a penny for themselves. They gave it all to the people and let Moshe Rabbeinu distribute it based on the word of Hashem. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that they didn't steal. That's what makes them big tzaddikim. And moreover, they just waged a war, a phenomenal war where there were no casualties. And they defeated the sworn enemies of the Jews who were trying to prevent them from entering Eretz Yisrael and trying to wipe them out. Bilam himself was one of the casualties of the enemies in that war. So is there really Gezel over here? They're entitled to spoils. Explains to Moshe Feinstein, they saw the miraculous outcome of the war and they said, this is the schus of Klal Yisrael. It's not our schus. It's nothing that we did or we deserve. It's the Jewish people as a whole. And therefore, for us to take any, even a penny, would be inappropriate. Because whatever we did was only by virtue of the schusim of Klal Yisrael. If we won the war, it's because of the outcome that they deserve, the schus that they had to be safe from their enemies, not ours. We were just the beneficiaries of that tzuchus. In the same way that I can be the beneficiary and lose my tzaras if they affect someone else and that person doesn't deserve to undergo those tzaras. All of Klal Yisrael is one entity, one unit. And the way that we interact with other people will determine our successes sometimes, even when we don't deserve it ourselves. One more quick example from the Chassam Sofer. The Pasuk says, in Parshas Kisavu, we just read it, Vosircha Hashem L'tova b'fri v'tnecha, Hashem will be Moser L'cha Tova. Hashem will give you Moser, Yoser, right? Like more, increased Tova. What does it mean, increased Tova? What's increased? It's either good or it's bad. No, increase means that every person, like the Rambam writes to his son, everyone gets a certain amount of time in this world. So a whole adam kitzva mahu tzarf l'sakim b'torah u'mitzvos. Every person has a set amount of time in this world to accomplish what they're supposed to accomplish in Torah mitzvos. And if they finish it early, so then their life may end early. And if they don't finish in time, then they may run out of time. That's only if you live your life for yourself. And this is the key. This is the lesson. If you live your life for yourself, then you're limited by what's allocated according to your judgment. But if there are people like your own family, your children, your wife, or your community, your chaverim, your chavrusa, your talmidim, anyone in your larger circle or sphere, then your kitzvah is not limited to what it was originally intended for you. Hosircha Hashem l'cha. Hashem will give you more and more and more. Mosros chayim l'tova b'fri b'necha. In order that you can continue to do good for other people. Or both say, this is what we say every Shabbos at Mincha. Mi ka'amcha Yisrael. There is no one like Klal Yisrael. Goy echad ba'aretz. We are a single nation. When we appreciate how much we're linked and how unified as one that Goy Echad Ba'aretz is, and the precision with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates that beautiful symphony, again, we have new meaning to the idea that Hashem has this master plan, but it also galvanizes us, and it must galvanize us to give more to others and realize that we're not just living our lives for ourselves because our destinies are truly intertwined. A little more than 100 years ago, there was a famous case, blood libel. You can imagine, blood libel in the 1900s. Poland, a man by the name of Bayless, and it was a worldwide affair, and he was accused, like in the old days, in medieval times, of a blood libel, shechting a Christian child to get the blood for the matzahs or for the wine on Pesach, whatever the details were. And there was a huge case. He was put on trial and attracted international attention in all parts of the globe, not just the Jews, non-Jews as well. Because on the one hand, it was a real test to see how powerful anti-Semitism can be. And at the same time, to see if the judicial system was a farce, because it was clear that the accusations were beyond the stretch. And it ended up ballooning past a simple trial, whereby they called in rabbis to represent the Jewish people and represent the Talmud. And it was actually an attack on Torah more than it was an attack on a specific individual. And one of the lawyers for the defense who was asked to testify was the great Rameir Shapiro. The great Rameir Shapiro, the founder of Chachma Lublin and the founder of the Daf Yomi. And he gave a famous response to one of the prosecution's arguments. Obviously, what they were trying to do was show in their anti-Semitism that it's actually the Jews who are anti everybody else. And they brought a Gemara, very important Gemara, that darshans various psukim where the word Adam is found, and Chazal darshan Adam prat lebehema, man. That pasuk Adam means as opposed to an animal, and sometimes it means Adam. Prat le goy, Adam prat le nachri, a non-Jew. So if you're an anti-Semite looking for some fuel to fire against the Jews, this is a pretty good example of where the Gemara seems to be saying that the Jewish people, the Gemara, the Chachmei Talmud, look at non-Jews as being subhuman, right? We're Adam and they're something else. So they called him to the stand and they said, Rameir Shapiro, Rabbi, what do you have to say about these Gemaras? Said you totally misunderstood. The reason why Adam is man, right? Adam refers to all Jewish people, right? So why don't we say Anashim? Anashim is plural, right? There's no plural of Adam. There's no Adamim. There's no word like that, right? The word Adam singularly refers to the Jewish people, not because non-Jews are subhuman, but because an Adam is a uniquely Jewish description. An Adam represents a single organism, one goof. When one part of the goof feels pain, every other part of the goof also shares in that pain. And the very trial that we're standing at right now is an indication of that, because when one Jew is on trial, the entire Jewish population of planet Earth is watching at the edge of their seat and taking part in this monumental event. Because if one Jew goes down, we all go down. Whatever affects one Jew affects every single Jew. And he capitalized on the opportunity to explain that Adam is not as opposed to those who are subhuman. It's Adam in that term of singularity, that there is no plural, there is no Adamim. Adam can only refer to Jews because only Jews have that interconnectedness that makes us as one. And now, as we're demonstrating, even the Hashkacha on that one Adam is Nika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. It's on only one, because there is only one, and that gives the capacity for the judgment of one person to relate to so many other people simultaneously. So when we step back from this small piece in the puzzle, again, we appreciate much more the complex rubric that exists in the world around us, specifically that we see that there's so much more at stake behind everything that occurs, every one of my actions, because of how it interacts with other people and their lives too. To share with you a personal story. This is amazing, but this is true. This is true. Again, a lot of bitachon and emuna necessary. There's a Rebbe in our yeshiva. Now he's probably close to 50. But I remember good, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, he lived in Washington Heights. And he had a car. For lack of a better term, I don't know how else you can describe this car, but Kanahara with his kids, big family, and I don't know, a good 100,000 miles. The only way to describe this car is a yeshivish jalopy, okay? You all know what I'm talking about. I have no other way to describe it. The only more yeshivish jalopiness it could have had was if it was a station wagon, but it wasn't a station wagon, okay? Now this car was a hot commodity. Those of you who have spent time in the Heights, having a car in the Heights is not so posh. Not so posh. Ask Moshe Nayron. He's probably still looking for a parking spot right now. Yeah, it's not easy to have a car in the Heights. You have to find a place to park, and you got to move it all the time. Nowadays, you only have to move your car once. There's only one day of street cleaning. not only a couple years ago, it was 2 days a week street cleaning, and the hours were right in the middle of Seder and Chavrusa time. It's a balagan. And to park in a lot in the Heights, like $300, $350 a month. Okay? So what do you do if you're dating? So it was big tircha. You know, not every guy can have a car, you know, to go on dates in the Heights. And if you want to go borrow someone, go borrow your parents' car, get a home, then you got to return the car and then come back to yeshiva, take the train, not push it. So it was not unusual for people to borrow cars. People still do, but people would come to him to borrow cars. And they mamish, they were not respectful, even of this car. Like people like use the easy pass, not pay back, you know, come back with like a like half empty tank, you know, just like not respectful. And people said to him like, you know, the car's mamish already falling apart. It's very nice that you're generous and you're doing a big chesed, but are you sure you want to keep lending out the car the way you do? It's not going to last too long. You need the car. These guys, they'll figure something else out. You need the car for your family. He said, Adarabba, Adarabba, Adarabba. Look at the blue book value of my car. My car should have broken down 5 years ago. It's already not worth anything. It's a Pella that it even drives Bisman Hazeh. Aber, who knows? Sometimes the possessions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, our money, our material goods, our home, our clothes, they're given to us because our lives aren't simply about ourselves. They're also about how we live for other people. And sometimes I may not deserve that fortune, that wealth, that salary, those goods on my own cheshbon, but they're given to me by virtue of what I can do with them for another person. And maybe the fact that I'm generous about lending my car, adarabba, will allow it to last even longer and allow it to stay by me for more time, more years, and allow me to continue to do chesed, because that's the schus I have, that I'm the beneficiary of. Because once again, it's the interconnectedness of our lives, and the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us to do chesed with other people should be seen in that light. Nefesh HaChaim, in the introduction, the Sefer was authored by Reb Chaim Vilna Lashner, but it was printed after his lifetime by his son, Rabbi Itzla, Yitzchak Vilna, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Vilna Yeshiva after Reb Chaim. And as much as Reb Chaim was a massive Talmud Chacham of Gadol Hador proportions, and he is known as perhaps the closest Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, and a Rav and a Rosh Yeshiva, founding Rosh Yeshiva of Vilna, one of the most important historical institutions in hundreds and hundreds of years, maybe more, as much as he had that great Rosh Hashiva image, listen to what he says. He did not stop thinking until his final moments on his deathbed about how he could use every ounce of energy inside of him in order to help the tzibur. To be marbek b'kvot shamayim, hin b'mile d'tzibura, b'frat b'inyanei haklal, especially as it pertains to doing things for the community. The Shatif Shim Shemayim B'Tzar Daklav Aprat, to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu in, as it were, to the Tzar, not just of the individual, but in the community at large. Now listen to this. Hayrogel Hochiachosi, he would frequently chastise me and give me Musar. Al Sharosh and Neni Meshtatif B'Tzar Dachrina, when he saw that I wasn't adequately being Meshtatif and joining together with the Tzar of another person. And these were the words that he spoke to me. Tamid. Shezeh kol ha'adam. The entirety of a person's life and existence. Lo la'atzmo nivra. He wasn't created for himself. Rak laho la'achrini. To help other people. K'chol asher yimotzi b'koch alasos. To whatever degree it is in his power to do. That is why we are created. That is why we're created. It's a scary realization for someone who lives their life in a self-centered fashion. But as you proceed, and Mirza Shem, as you get married, and you have children, and you have responsibilities to them that sometimes conflict with what you want to do, or what's convenient or comfortable for you, remember the words of Reb Chaim Tamid, Zekol ha'odom ul'atzmo nivra. You weren't created for yourself. Everything you're blessed with, including your own existence, is there to see how you can help Bimar b'kvot shamayim and share it with others. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. Just close with one or two more quick points. This idea that we started with, Ein Ovel, Everything is perfect and yashar. Hashem has it all calibrated so that no one is negatively impacted when they don't deserve it by other people. And all of our lives in Hashgacha Pratis are one. Mikam Chalisoa Goy Echad Ba'aretz. This, Rav Moshe Sternbach tells us, was also a principle that the Brisker Rav brought out and expressed it in the Midah of Emes. Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Bachanan, Erech Apayim Rav Chesed, the Emes. Emes. Emes means truth. Emes means absolute truth. Truth means the precision of the Hashgacha Pratis in the way we're describing it, that nothing that Hashem does is not done with a calculation of how it will affect every person and every being beyond the way that it affects the direct recipient, as it were. That's Emes. That's Emes. Because if something is results that is not deserved, it's not 100% Emes. Then there's an element of Sheker because it wasn't supposed to happen. So I would just add to that, Halo Davarhu. Number one, when we should have that in mind when we say the Yud Gimel Mitzvah Rachamim, Emes, that Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and see how that can inspire us to live a more interconnected life with other members of the Tzibur, to tap onto the schus of the Klal in general, and see how that will ultimately help us, like the Da'i Gevul of Ish, Yitzchein Al-Acherim, share it with other people because it will help you too. Be the good listener so that you can truly help that person. But the bridge, the natural next words that we find after Chesed ve'emes, notzer chesed. So it's chesed ve'emes, notzer chesed. Emes is the bridge between one midah of chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the second midah of chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's absolute truth is what allows chesed to be conducted in its fullest sense with every person in this world, and for us to pass that on to others, like Reb Chaim Voloshiner said. So just to come full circle, that's what Reb Eliel Apian was saying at the end of the piece in the Maroch Satshuva. V'chein ha'itza ha'yu'utza lanu b'chol zman. V'koshkein b'erev Rosh Hashanah, v'koshkein b'erev Yom Kippur. Sh'neskasha kulam hulanu ba'avosos ha'ava. Look to improve kol echad l'chavero, connecting with, could be a friend, could be a parent, people who we need to repair relationships with, and even people who have good relationships with. To further the partnerships that we feel one another's tsar, we feel one another's simcha, because it propels and it multiplies exponentially the effects because of how we are able to connect with each other the way that we have described. And there's a great story. Last thing that Rav Schechter quotes in the Sefer Divrei Harav, that there was a Shmua. He says it was a Shmua. So Rav Schechter didn't have this firsthand knowledge, but the rumor was in Boston, where the Rav lived and founded the Maimonides School in Boston. Pamishtati Rabbeinu B'yachra Machirim, the concertchal at his Morris Hasimphonit Shal Boston. Apparently, the Rav once went to the Boston Philharmonic Symphony. Yestakel hate the Meshachol concert, and he was watching carefully through the entire concert. Heich shenigin hakinor, shenagan hakinor oved kasha. The guy who was on the harp. You ever seen someone play the harp? It's not easy. Constant movement. From the beginning of the concert to the end. Misame to menofu biyolo kozman. He was really working hard, and his fingers never stopped playing the entire concert. Benigod lebal amitzal time. Unlike the guy with the cymbals. Yeah, goes like this. Boom. Shirakika bechlisha biyado gimel pamayim meshakol ha'erev. The whole night, the whole concert, all he did was play his instrument three times. Nisor etzel sefek im shehem mistakrim b'shavah. So the Rav wondered to himself, I wonder if they both get paid the same amount for their job. Or it probably makes more sense for the guy who's playing the harp to get a lot more money than what the guy who only has to hit his instrument three times gets. And he said, after the concert, he went over and asked the Baal Matzal Tayim, Taka, do you make the same amount of money as the guy with the harp? Okay? And he responded immediately, B'tekifus. You can imagine, with force, absolutely not. We get the same amount of money. Shebevalei kulam mistakrim b'shavah. Because without those three dings or crash or whatever it was, the whole concert would be a terrible failure. The whole concert isn't just about how many notes from this instrument, how many notes from that instrument. It's more about how the each note from each instrument comes together to form that harmony. And we have to, when we sit in shul, when we sit on a Zoom, you have to imagine as if everyone has their own instrument and they're playing a different part. It comes together in a way that would not be nearly as effective, would not be as beautiful and harmonious if we were all by ourselves. And the same is true about our Ben Amma Chaver, the way we interact with each other. Think about it in the same way. The more that I give to others, the more I'm recognizing the harmony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into motion in Klal Yisrael and the gifts of Hashgacha Pratis and the way we rely on each other, like the Rebbe with the car, like the people sharing the their sufferings with each other, like the Kohen Gadol, everything is interconnected. And the more that we live for other people, the more that we benefit from the Achdus, which is one of the most powerful kochos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us as a tzibur.